Hallelujah. We prayed for it and we got it. Amen? One of the songs said He hears us when we call. We've been talking about prayer, but what we've been praying about is don't pray selfishly. Remember? We've been talking over and over about don't pray selfishly. And when we pray for His will and not ours, we lose our selfishness. Amen? When He hears us when we call, does not mean He's our servant. It means we are His, and He wants to protect. He wants to provide, and He wants to heal. Amen? We heard this morning many references in different forms to healing in all forms. Amen? Now, do we hear when He calls? It's just absolutely tremendous that He hears when we call. Do we hear when He calls? Is He one that speaks the truth? Did you hear the truth in the Word that was brought forth this morning? Now you better answer yes, because I have another hour if you don't. And I'm not doing anything but threatening you. Because I do have it. I am very tempted, Richard. Very tempted. Simply because I feel like the seed bed is here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. I want to see everybody in here saved and delivered and healed and prosperous, full of wisdom and revelation and understanding. Thy kingdom come means every one of those things. Amen? Hallelujah. There are many here this morning that need a touch from God. But I'm afraid it's not the healing touch that you need. It's the revelation touch that you need. Because healing was already provided for, Isaiah 53. Jesus Himself went to the cross to fulfill His own prophecy. He did what He said He was going to do. Now, do you believe that? That's my question for you this morning. God, can I do this? You see, I want to dismiss now, but I'm not too sure we're supposed to. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Lord, we want You this morning. That's what we want. We don't want to see any man. We don't want to see any purpose other than Yours. We want to know You. We want to really, truly believe and live in the verse from Jeremiah that explains to us Your very thought process for us. I'm so tired, Lord, of being around a people and a church. And I don't mean these. I mean generally, Lord, around the world, a people in a church that does not believe You and does not risk and stake their life on what they read and what they understand and what they know You by. Teach us to be that people, Lord. Teach us to be that people. There's always a remnant that are hungering and thirsting after the true You. Not something they've been taught, but the true You. A personal relationship. One that's far beyond anything that we've ever been told or revealed. There's so much more to You, Lord. Teach us to seek that. Seek it in our prayers. Seek it for Your honor and for Your glory. And not for our own. Not so that we can have a platform. Or not so that we can have an audience. But so that we can reveal You, Lord. Teach us to pray for healing, not so that we can be comfortable, but so that we can reveal You. Teach us to pray for prosperity, not so that we can enjoy, but so that You won't be a disgrace on the face of the earth that we reveal. We love You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. With all of our hearts, we yield to You this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord. You are the only one that's worthy. You're the only one worthy of us listening to. You're the only one worthy of us believing. Hallelujah. We praise You this morning, Lord. We praise You this morning, Lord. You're the only one that I want to hear. You're the only one that I want to feel and touch. You, Lord. You, Lord. I want to be that bride that's without spot or wrinkle. I want to be that Nehemiah that says, "Prosper Your servant," referring to take care of me as I do Your work. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let that remnant be revealed in these days, Lord. Those people that are crying out for you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You're worthy of our continuous praise and our continuous worship. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we repent for even mentioning a foolish thing like the Super Bowl in the house of God. We repent from trying to place that silly process, thought process, in front of being still in front of you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's none like you. There's none like you. There's no Super Bowl like you. There's no victory like the victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no spectacle like seeing you, Jesus Christ, crucified for us, and to see, let you see us crucified for you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We lay the foolishness and the childishness to one side. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we speak healing on your people. We speak revelation and discernment on your people. We speak prosperity. Not for them, but for you do I speak this, Lord. Hallelujah. I negate any report, financially, physically, spiritually. It's been spoken over your people. And I speak the truth. They're healed. They're saved. They're delivered. They're prosperous. They're wise. They're successful. They're powerful in Jesus' name. That every place they go, your kingdom prospers. Hallelujah. That no weapon formed against them that has ever been spoken or ever been felt, not even a hint, prospers in their lives. I do this for you, Lord. I do this for you, Lord. Let every doctor's words fall. Let every preconceived idea of how this life is supposed to operate fall to the dust and let you be revealed. Let everything be fresh and new. Everything peaceful and calm. No matter what war, no matter what turmoil, no matter what temptation, let your people be peaceful and calm. In you. Smile in their face. Power in their voice and their heart. Knowing who they are because of what you've done. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Look at me this morning, please. I don't know why, but we need to talk about this for a moment. We've allowed so many, many, many things to take precedence over Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So many things. It's like every day that 80 to 90% of our life is consumed by those things that are not Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Whether in the form of worry or need or pain or whatever. My goodness alive. How can pain be above Jesus Christ? How can pain, no matter how severe, how can fever, how can a lack or a want or a need be above Jesus Christ? And how dare we exalt those words against, above, Messiah and Savior and Healer? How can the preparation for a silly little thing, childish thing called a Super Bowl, even pale, even be a slight hint if our mind is fixed upon the Lord? Somebody should have to call us and remind us of that the party's there. We shouldn't be fixed, focused on that kind of nonsense. It should mean nothing. And I don't care if the Broncos, that's who they are. I don't care if the Broncos were in the Super Bowl. That's how important it should be. I just exhibited to you how important it should be. There should be only one name that we remember 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it can't be the Raiders and whoever else is playing, the Broncos, or anybody else. Now, I pray to God. I was in the hot tub this morning, meditating. And I noticed, I do that. I get in hot water with God. It helps. And I noticed as the three pumps were running that a bunch of bubbles were forming. Now, you may not like this, but that's a sign that the water's getting a little murky. Somebody's not been paying attention like they should. And I prayed to God, God, use me, use this minister of music this morning to cause some bubbles to come. Those places that where we've been lacking, those places we haven't been touching, cause that scum to form so it can be taken off. Amen? Man, don't be satisfied with where you are. Don't look around and say it's hopeless. Because as she ministered this morning, He is hope. How can it be? The only way you can be hopeless is without Jesus Christ. He is hope. If you've got Him, you can't be without hope. There's nothing that's ever spoken that can happen that can discourage you. You may feel a little bummed out for a minute, but so what? I feel bummed out when I get out of the hot tub. That's just for the moment. I knew that was going to happen when I went in. Now I feel better. Amen? This morning I got up like normal, 5 o'clock, and I'm in there. And I am about dead. My body was telling me, you go back to bed and fool with the people. Would you say that if you were doing it for me? Would you hang in there? Or am I lost without hope depending on you? And you know what? I finally told my body, you shut up. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. You're going to stand here and you're going to perform as you're called and anointed to do. And you know what? Without me even thinking about it, in a few moments I noticed that I'm full of God and I'm full of brightness and things are going like they're supposed to. When's the last time you told your body to shut up? When's the last time? When's the last time your body was hurting or tired and you said, I don't care what you think. I know what God says. I know what I'm supposed to do. Hallelujah. Do you trust God? I'm going to read you the concluding verses, okay? Just going to read you the Word. No, I better read you the title first so you'll know what direction I'm coming from. Because I'm going to get back to this one. The question, or the title of the question of this is what I was going to bring to you this morning. And I'm still bringing it to you because in light of what's been spoken in song and what the Spirit of the Lord is really saying here this morning. Do you listen? Do you obey? Are my feet beautiful? And the last one, what are you thinking? And I'm going to cover those points later, but I'm going to read you the concluding scripture. 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health only if your soul prospers. I changed that just a little bit, but that's okay. You get the point. You're not going to prosper. You're not going to be in health unless you can tell your flesh how the cow eats the cabbage. You quit letting your flesh tell you how it works, and you tell your flesh how it works. I told a guy yesterday he wanted to go eat. I said, no. Well, why not? I said, my stomach is trying to tell me how to do things, and I'm going to get mad, and I'm going to tell it what to do. My stomach doesn't tell me what to do. I tell it what to do. Luke 4:40. When the sun was setting, this is the opinion of Jesus Christ. Anybody care about the opinion of Jesus Christ? You know, you want me to tell you how to prove that? Then you start acting like you believe the Word over you. And you quit telling me or the Lord how it works. Luke 4:40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to Him. And He laid His hands on every one of them, and every one of them were healed. I heard somebody say, I really had to hold my tongue trying to make some peace. But I heard somebody say, well, always watch it when there's a well, because there's one you can fall in on. All right? Well, it doesn't make any difference where it's by spit in mud put on your eyes or by the hand of a man. God's in all the healing. That sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like something I could fall into. Well, you show me a scripture that backs up what was just said there. You show me one time when Jesus took a man, a sick man, by the hand and said, let me lead you down here to a doctor that I know is good because I'm not in the mood right now to heal you. I believe if we take one more x-ray, then I'll know what to pray about. You're getting a little radical. Thank you. I told you, God told me to stir up the bubbles. Let's stir them up. Isaiah 53:5. But he, not well, but he. What kind of healing are you talking about, Stan? Any kind that you need. We're not talking about just physical healing. We're talking about anything that's a dis-ease to you. Two words. All sickness, all dis-ease. Stan, you've said this before. It won't be the last time because you don't listen very well. And I don't listen very well. The good intro to this was, this is for me and you. He and no other. You know, I was thinking about this. Please, could you let me rag on doctors just for a second? Because you won't. I will. You know what a doctor will tell you? Bill, you need to listen to me. Because I went to school for 4 years, and then another 4 years, and then another 4 years, so you got to listen to me. You know what he's telling you? I died for you. That's what he's telling you. You better only have one person that died for you, and that's Jesus Christ. And you better not ever let another man's word ever come above what Jesus has said and done. Should I not seek them? I didn't say that. That's up to you and the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, no man's word should ever come against the word of the living God. Amen. No man. Yeah. There's a scripture that says, those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Who'd you call last? When you needed something, who'd you call last? Did he send you a bill? Maybe you can discern who's your best friend. But he and no other was wounded for our transgressions. He and no other was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of him, of our peace, was upon him and no other. Your peace does not rely on what President Bush decides in the next week. It's not dependent upon what your congressman does or doesn't do in the next few days. And by his stripes, you were healed if you believe you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins... Oh, let's don't talk about that part. Let's just talk about him dying. We're not supposed to have to die to anything. I think I'm going to leave this church and go to another church that just reads half of that scripture. I just want to hear the first part. He himself bore our sins in his own body on that tree. I don't want to hear about that part, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And then it says, by whose stripes we were healed. If I were your God, can I be your God just for a moment? I'd get very hostile if I heard you quoting somebody else besides me. I'd figure that you had a split heart, spoke with a forked tongue. You were double-minded and unstable in all your way. Therefore, I would put no responsibility on you at all. Is that a little too frank? Or a little too Stan for you? Come on, did you ever try to get in God's shoes concerning you? Matthew 10:22. Maybe we just should read that we'll be hated for His namesake. Maybe we should just tear that little part out, Matthew 10:22, that says, and you will be hated for My name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Oh, I thought all I had to do is go up here, sign a card, repent just a little bit and everything will be fine. Yes and no. Yes and no. Can I tell you what the no part is? It's not drudgery and misery and pain. That's not the no part. The no part is you promise to be like Jesus when you signed the little card. When you said, I believe in you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. In your heart, you signed a little card saying, I want to be like you. When you went to the altar, when you prayed for wherever that was, what you said was, I no longer want to be like me, I want to be like you. Everybody in this room that ever gave their heart to Christ said, I don't want to be like me, I want to be like you. And ever since that day, the devil's been trying to get you to renege on that deal. How do you do that? He tempts you to be like you instead of him. I wonder how many sick days Jesus took off. Why? We heard Wednesday night a scripture that said, I am in the light as He was in the light, is in the light. That means He is truth because He was in truth. God the Father gave Him the truth. Jesus didn't make up His own way as He walked. He said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. That's why He was in the light. Can you say that? Isaiah 45:17. See, you can see how long this would have been because this is just my concluding scriptures. Isaiah 45:17. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Were you saved with an everlasting salvation? Shall we test our last week's walk? And see if that's true. See if you truly believe you're saved with an everlasting salvation. Let's find out what you said and did, and we'll find out if you believe it. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and forever. So whatever you think has happened or is about to happen, you are wrong because God said you shall never be disgraced forever and forever. What does that mean? That means when you stand on one of God's promises, you will not be disgraced. If you stand on anybody else's promises, you will be disgraced. Galatians 5:16-18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? What does lust of the flesh mean? People, don't be naive. Get a little more simple like a child. The lust of the flesh is what the flesh wants to do.
Yes.
That's how simple it is. You know what happens when you have a pain or a threat in the middle of the night? What does your flesh want to do? Not new wine either, is it? It wants to call out for help. And without you curbing your flesh by the Spirit, it will call 911. And it's a set of Psalms 91:1. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. I know y'all been saved and filled with the Spirit and you dance upside down and backwards. You get goosebumps and you speak in tongues and you interpret. You got all, you're just full of revelation, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, discernment. Right? Well, maybe you need to take a look at your flesh and see what really rules in your house. Here's the formula. When Jesus is being exalted, flesh is being eliminated. Now you can take that in water. I can get real blunt. For flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit... But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you are led by the law, you're not under the Spirit. What is the law? Well, Stan, you know what's reasonable. My goodness, what would you do? If there's an attack in the middle of the night, what would you do? Can I read you a little joke? That I'll turn it around. This came from the internet. The difference between the liberal and conservative. The debate over war on terrorism. How many of you know who's the terror in the night?
Oh yeah.
Then we're in a war continuously, correct?
Right.
It didn't just pop up because of Saddam Hussein. It popped up the minute Satan rebelled. Here's your question. You're walking down a deserted street with your wife and two small children. Suddenly a dangerous-looking man with a huge knife comes around the corner and is running at you while screaming. He's screaming obscenities and threats. In your hand is a Glock 40. And you are an expert shot. You have mere seconds before he reaches you and your family. What do you do? A liberal answer. By the way, you can't be a Christian and be a liberal. Because a Christian has a closed mind. His mind is made up. Remember that. When everybody tells you you have a closed mind, say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for closing my mind." The liberal answer. Well, that's not enough information to answer the question. Does the man look poor or oppressed? Have I ever done anything to him? Could we run away? What does my wife think? What about the kids? Could I possibly swing the gun like a club and knock the knife out of his hand? This is not real funny when you think this is the way Christians talk. They don't believe in action. What does the law say about this situation? Is it possible he'd be happy with just killing me? Come on. You think about the things you've been taught in church, and that's one of the options.
Yep.
Does he definitely want to kill me? Or would he just be content to wound me? If I were to grab his knees and hold on, could my family get away while he's stabbing me? This is all so confusing. I need to debate this with some friends for a few days to try to come to a conclusion. And what's happened in that time, you and your family are dead.
That's right.
A conservative answer. Bang!
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Now let me give you a super conservative answer, a Texan's answer. Bang, 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 bang. Click. The clip comes out. Put it back in. Bang, 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 bang. The daughter's answer? Nice grouping, Dad. What do you want to be known as? You see, the problem, here's the problem with not doing what God has told you to do. You have a tremendous amount of ammunition and a tremendous weapon called Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You don't need any other answer. And as in the days of old, so in the days now, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When He says kill an enemy, He says kill all enemies, women, children, animals, wives, property, kill them. Bang, 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 bang. Don't stop until they're dead. Even in Psalms, talking of the enemy, He said, "Blessed are those that dash those babies against the stones." Y'all just walked in on me a hyper day. I apologize. I'm not always quite so brutal. But I can see the enemy attacking on every front. Where's Donna? You're being way too quiet when I don't see you. I thought she might be ill, but I know that Susie's having problems. I know that Tanya's had problems. I know that because Tanya had problems, Chuck's had problems. Sometimes while we're shooting the enemy, we shoot our wives a couple times too. You understand what I'm talking about? Using the word as a weapon against a weapon. There's words spoken all over Mom, all over Dad. Now, are they lie or are they truth? If you've got a word, why are you seeking another word? I am totally confused. You guys need to help me a little bit. If I give you the word on Sunday morning, if the Lord gives you the word during the week, why are you seeking another word? Why are you being the liberal? Why are you discussing this and discussing this and discussing this when you know the answer? I was so much impressed by every song that you sang. Maybe I'm just hearing the way that I wanted to. But every song was to give Him praise and to stand in some form of healing. Every song. You don't think the Lord knows what He's doing? If He knew then, He knows now. If He knows now, He'll know tomorrow. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's be real simple like children so we can understand the things of the kingdom. What is the law? Let me quote some law to you. If you get sick, you've got to go see the doctor. Parents, if your children get sick, you'll be bad parents if you don't take them to the doctor. Ephesians 4 says the church has been given the teachers. God says, don't send them to teachers. You teach them. It's called homeschool. Make them work. Make them obey. Discipline them. And you listen to Jefferson County. The law says that because you're not super educated, you'll never amount to anything. Is that what God says?
No.
God, the law says that if the economy goes down, your income has to go down. This says that if you are not led by the Spirit, you are under those laws. You know, this is not an option I'm giving you, the Scripture is giving you. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're under every law. Walked into that doctor's office the other day. I didn't feel one bit of Spirit there. Not one ounce of Holy Spirit there. So what do? We sit down and we say, what do you think, doctor? Does anybody in here care what another man thinks when they have the Word of the Lord? Should we even give them a chance to speak it? Because all it is somebody running with a knife, screaming and yelling threats. How many of you are this smart? How many of you know at least this? That if you go into an auto mechanic shop, he doesn't make any money by telling you everything's all right. Then how much more so a doctor? When is the last time you went into there and he said, you know, I've checked you over and I don't even want to charge you. Everything's so good, I won't even send you a bill. I can just look at you and see that everything's fine. I've listened to your ticker. I've listened to your rumble. Everything's fine. Checked your blood pressure, man. I wish I was half as healthy as you. Get out of my office. I don't want to see you again. Why? Because they don't make money that way. The other reason is they don't believe what you believe. They are not led by the Spirit. They're led by the law. So 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 to them. Come on. I can look at nearly everybody in here today and give you a story. I can look at Chuck Jennings and I can see the enemy's played very dirty with him over and over and over, so much so that he's nearly to the point where he can accept the fact of the state of life. And yet, he knows better. He knows God's got better things. He knows that. I can't tell you how many times in the last months that the devil has visited me with the same suggestion. The evidence is failure, no hope. I'm talking to a failure with no hope.
Right.
What else could he tell me?
Right.
What else could he tell me? Did you know Satan has nothing else to tell me but what's within him? Guess what God tells me? What did He tell us in the form of song this morning? Even in the reading of the Scripture, the same thing that we've talked about over and over. There's your confirmation. Let everything be established out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. And it's nice when a stranger shows up and tells you the same thing we've been talking about here. That means God's in it. And He's trying to knock on your head and say, is anybody home? What in the world have you been thinking? Some of the stuff that's been coming out of you. What have you been thinking? I send you people with beautiful feet and you don't... Whose report are you listening to? I didn't hear any answer. Maybe that is the answer. Stan, are you teaching against doctors? Come on. I have so much to teach for. Why would I teach against anything? I don't have to teach against doctors. My word, if you're led by the Spirit, you don't need to hear about those things. You just need to be reminded that you're led by the Spirit. You need to be reminded of some of the words that were in a song today. Remember, she described to you in the song about your name He knew. Remember? And that He formed your body and your heart before the foundations of the earth. That He knows every thought. I used to be threatened by that. I realized this morning that He knew those thoughts before the foundation of the earth. So I've never had a thought that was a threat to Him. I just had to take control of them. You know, the difference between those that are outside the jail and those that are inside the jail? Controlling their thought processes.
That's right.
Can I just go over the line for a second? You know the difference between those in the hospital and out of the hospital? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know how strong that scripture is? Why would you go to a man for a medicine if God tells you that He gave you the ability to have a merry heart and have medicine? I heard the other day, they finally figured something out. They had a 40-something-year-old woman. She slipped, and when she fell, she just shattered her wrist. Had to be put together with pins and all kinds of things. And they couldn't understand this because that's not supposed to be. And so they began to quiz her, and they had found out that she had been one that had been operating under stress and worry for years. And so they started a study, and in that study they found out that especially in women, those that operate under fear and stress, it takes the life out of their bones. They don't have to wait for menopause. The life is removed from their bones. And can I tell you something else they did? They found out that if you could calm that woman down, give her some hope and some direction, life entered back into her bones. It had nothing to do with calcium tablets, or estrogen, or progesterone. That puts a great responsibility on husbands, doesn't it? If that be the case with your bride, how much so with you as the bride of Christ? If you don't feed on Him as the peace, as we heard this morning in song, Him as our Creator, Him as our Maker, Him as the one that named us and knows our names, hears our call and calls on us. If we don't remember that, we're going to dry up and have dead bones. And you're going to have somebody else speak over you about dead bones come back to life. Or we can do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that was the last few minutes of the message, and I'm going to quit. We'll just go over it again later. Are you practicing the way you're praying? It's hard, isn't it? You catch yourself every moment of every day trying to pray the normal old way. Because we are just a bunch of cows following the cow path. And God wants us to be different than that. He wants us to control our thought processes, take control of those, and say, I'll no longer follow that path. God, show me a new path. I'm not going to make it. I've made a bust. I wrote a little note the other day on my notepad and said, God, here, take my mind. Boy, I haven't done anything with it. We can say that about our life. We can say it about our finances. We can say it about our friends, our children. Here, just take them. I've blown it anyway. You've got to do better than I've done. Well, that's speaking negative. Oh, yeah, you try it and see if it turns out negative. You see if one plea to God turns out negative on your part. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I serve a good God. And I serve one that's trustworthy. I serve one that means every word that... Does your God mean every word that He said? I'm telling you, we can get fired up about that. I've been so fired up about dealing with a bunch of boobs that talk and never accomplish anything. That it's giving me over, it's getting me that way in the Spirit. I'm finding out maybe I'm that way in the Spirit realm. My God speaks the truth. Every word that I've ever read in His Word is the truth. Any man that speaks against that is a liar. It says, let all men be liars and God be the truth.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
So when we speak, led by the Spirit of God, When I lean over, and I don't believe you losing your voice. I prayed about that. You're not losing your voice. I believe that everything that I prayed, led by the Spirit this morning, happened. The evidence is in you. The evidence is in this place. The evidence is in you. And we're not going to take any other report. One of the scriptures that I wrote in there is, whose report do you believe? Man, we need to just put that on our wall. And when some goofy phone call or some goofy person shows up, goofy. Goofy. Definition of goofy. Anything that's not of God. Goofy. Okay? I don't care what their title is before their name. Anything that's not of God is goofy. What was goofy in the... Was he a dog? What was goofy in the cartoons? Dog? That's the picture. I get that old floppy-eared... Red Skelton in some of his. That's goofy. Jesus is Lord. Everything else is goofy. Jesus is Lord. But Stan, you don't know the rules of the world. Genesis 1:26. I am the rule in the world. If I believe that God says that, I am the rule, at least over this world. They're not the law. It says those that are led by the Spirit are not under the law. Come on. There's no law of age. There's no law of finance. There's no law of cancer. There's no law of fret, worry, stress. There's no law of retirement. There's no law that affects those that are led by the Spirit. And there's no law of blindness either, Richard.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What did you have to say?
I just wanted to tell you that when I was out in Oregon, all I saw was me. 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 I went to church there, and it wasn't a church. It was just a meeting. They had some good songs, but there was no Spirit there. It was just a meeting, and somebody speaking on abortion and how it's so bad. You know, and that's fine, but that's not church. And so glad to be back here where people care about somebody else other than just themselves.
Hallelujah. And, Melanie, wave at the people for a second. Just wave at them. Just wave, yeah. You guys bought her glasses that she's got on. Y'all did that. And you did that not for Melanie. You did it for the kingdom of God. Amen? Give praise that we were able to do that. And then remind God that we would like to do more for Him. Okay? Come at it from the right angle. You know, God is as temperamental as I am sometimes.
Yeah.
I have His mind, don't I? Come on. You approach me wrong, and you're not going to like it. You approach me right, and we're going to be friends forever.
Yeah.
I believe that's the way God is. Come on. Come boldly into the presence with thanksgiving is not come boldly into His presence. I got a list. Okay? That's not what it says. All right. Y'all stand with me. One thing I want to remind you is if any of the material that was spoken through the song this morning is on any of those CDs back there, it's worth going and buying them all. Oh, yeah, we got to take up our offering, don't we? Thank you. While you're up, you can reach your billfold easier. Come forward. They're ready. I know they have followed every word of instruction. And I'll repeat what I was going to say. Go back there and buy those CDs. Meditate on the Word. Meditate on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Do you have tapes? Just CDs? Okay. Well, those of you that don't have... Yeah, it is. Tape players. Go buy a CD player. Might be worth it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Do you think that if Jesus spoke to us and said, how can two walk together unless they agree? Do you think He meant that, by the way?
Yeah.
Then how do you think it affects you and your walk with Him under those same rules? Oh, I saw the question mark come up in some eyes there. Let me say it another way. No, not very far different. If Jesus said of you and you, you can't walk together unless you're agreed on most things, than what he said when he said to you, Jesus would say to you, I can't walk with you unless you agree with me. Do you believe that would be the truth? I believe that's why he gives us word. And I believe that's why he gives us warning. And I want to put in some people's hearts here today. We can't walk together unless we're agreed on tithe. And you are not walking with God unless you agree with him on tithe. He wrote in Malachi that here's the deal. Believe me and I'll prosper you. But if you don't, you'll have big pockets, but they'll have holes in them. And I don't care how much money I throw at you, it'll fall out the holes in your pocket and you'll never have anything. I'm disappointed in some things that I saw when I got what little report I got. And I'm being perfectly honest with you. Some of you are super, super past of faithful. And some of you have not even considered how you're hurting yourself by not tithing. You're not hurting me. And you surely aren't hurting God, but you are hurting yourself. Your bills will never be paid. If you take money that belongs to God and you pay your bills will never get paid. It's the way it is. You are not operating by the Spirit. You're operating under the law. And I got some news for you. The debt can never be paid if you're under the law. Is that spiritually speaking correct? If you don't take the life of Christ, your debt can never be paid. Same thing in your finances. What is tithe? Depends on how strict you are. Tithe is a minimum of 10% of everything that you get. It's another 10% of offerings, and it's another 10% of alms. That's the literal translation in the Bible. I've been letting you escape, now I'm telling you the truth. That is the truth. You know how I know? Because I didn't used to believe that, and I studied for myself. In fact, I didn't want to believe that until I studied for myself. And now I have no choice but to believe. It is not a Mosaic law. It's a law in the order of Melchizedek. Does anybody in here want to be in the priesthood patterned after Melchizedek? Yes. Then you will tithe. And you will give offerings. And you will give alms. Alms, we get into that some other time. I'm not going to explain all that. Just trust God that He can outgive you because He said, try me.
Right.
Amen? Praise the Lord. That's not for me. God's going to bless me no matter what happens because I'm going to continue to tithe. Praise the Lord. You guys want to turn and take up the offering while we're ending? I intended to get you out quicker, but the Spirit of the Lord said not to. Praise the Lord. Once again, Brenda, and it was Mark. Mark, appreciate you being here this morning. Very much appreciate the Spirit that you ministered in. Huh? And don't forget to buy the CDs. I think Mom wants to say something. So, no?
Said amen.
Oh, you said amen. I thought she's calling me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bow your heads. Father, please, be nice, Dan. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. I so much thank you for sending the messengers of music. I so much thank you for your Spirit being here to touch us with that. I so thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given this morning. And now I ask you to let that word, no matter in what form it came, to enter deep into the hearts and bring forth the harvest that you have desired. Let nothing be misunderstood, but let everything be run through the Holy Spirit filter to come out correctly in your people. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.